Well, tonight's topic on healing is going to be about aging. Okay, none of us have to worry about that, right? But the title of the message is basically, this is what it is, there was not one feeble one among them. There was not one feeble one among them. And I just want to start by saying that healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. Healing is available to all. So basically, it doesn't matter what country you're in, what gender you are, what culture, what nationality, it does not matter. Healing is available to all at any age, whether you're in utero, whether you're a baby in the mother's womb, they can operate on you, okay? Or whether you're at the opposite end of the spectrum at 110 years old, any age, healing is available to you and for any condition. It doesn't matter whether you have a head cold or somebody told you you had HIV. Okay, it doesn't matter. All right, so healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. All right, why don't you repeat that and say it with me? Say, healing is available to all.
Healing is available to all.
At any age.
At any age.
And for any condition.
And for any condition.
Amen? Amen. So as I begin this teaching tonight, I'm going to be focusing, as I said, on the topic of aging. But the world has a different idea about aging, and it's very different than even some Christians, than the way they believe or they should believe. So I say that because there are even some Christians who don't know what the word has to say on this topic. And whether you are 9 or 90, you can benefit from what I will be sharing tonight. And if you are young, that includes all of us, then you will learn what you should be confessing to stay young and healthy. So some may need to adjust their mindset, and others may simply leave here tonight encouraged, whether you're listening to it on the internet, because we are, at this point in life, the word is a blessing to us, and it's what changes us from the inside out. Wherever you are at spiritually, the word will be a blessing. But the promise of a long, healthy life isn't just for a few special people. Long life belongs to every obedient child of God. So if you're a believer, it belongs to you. So let's start out by turning to Psalm 105, verse 37. Psalm 105, verse 37, and I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Psalm 105, 37, when you're there, say amen. So this scripture here is referring to the Israelites when they were delivered from the Egyptians. And let's read verse 37. It says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among his tribes, not one feeble one among them. Think about that for a minute. That's an awesome miracle. Okay? The word feeble simply means lacking physical strength, especially as a result of age or illness. And there had to be people in the crowd there that were elderly. It also means faint, frail, infirm, delicate, sickly, ailing, unwell, poorly, incapacitated, decrepit, lacking vigor, force, or effectiveness. So a feeble person there, as a result of age or illness, was somebody that was either in a wheelchair, had to be carried, but there was not one feeble one among them. Now, if God can do that for what is estimated as 2 to 3 million people that he brought out of Egypt, if he can do that for that many people under the old covenant, think for a minute about what he can do for us today, who are under a new and better covenant, all right? So people may not realize it, but what we are thinking about regarding aging or the length of years that we should live can sometimes sabotage our healing. So let me explain. Many people don't know that long life is 120 years minimum, okay? It's supposed to be a long, healthy, and satisfied life, all right? So Is anybody here besides myself, you knew about long life, but your definition of long life was 70? 70, which is about 70 years, 70, 80 years, okay? So we're going to look at that because some people always thought, well, if you got to 70, 80 years old, you were lucky, right? Okay, but really the minimum that a believer should believe for and get to is 120 years minimum. And that's a healthy, satisfied life, okay? So once someone reaches 60 to 70 years of age and they start having symptoms of aging, might be memory loss, arthritis in their joints, lack of energy, okay? They accept this as normal and they'll say things like, well, I'm 70 years old, what do you expect? Have you heard anybody say that? I'm 80, what do you expect? Okay? So once you're a certain age, the world expects you to accept the symptoms of aging. And when we talk about that word accepted, that means receive willingly. They want you to receive willingly the symptoms of aging. And people think that you have to die from a sickness or disease. And so they stop fighting the good fight of faith. Okay? So that is a lie straight from the pit of hell, from the devil. And we should never accept that. Never. The devil is very subtle and he works on our minds until one wakes up one day and they have a calendar full of doctor's appointments. Amen? Okay, and they have given in to things and they don't even realize that as they've given in to symptoms, now they have to deal with it medically or however they're guided by the Holy Spirit. But a Christian can just finish their divine assignments from God and then let God gather them to himself. They can bid farewell to the family, sit in their favorite rocking chair and go home to be with the Lord. And that's the way it should be, okay? Not in a wheelchair, in a nursing home someplace, and not that that doesn't happen, but this is what we want, the ultimate. Because really, we often talk about walking in divine health. Not just getting healed, but our goal is to have every day a life of divine health. Amen? Amen. So, are we to accept symptoms of sickness at the age of 20? No. 30? No. 50? No. 60? No. Then why do people accept them when they hit 70, 75, 80? That's right. Lack of knowledge, right? Lack of being taught the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. Okay. So we are never to give up and never to say, well, okay, I reached a certain age. I'm just not going to believe anymore. And if you were taught that 70 is man's limit, then you have been programmed to die when you reach that age. Okay. That's how our bodies work. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking 70 to 80, then your body is going to accommodate you. And people will start winding down and giving in to illness. But we can't do that. We can't do that, okay? Now, some of where I got the things I was that I'm teaching on tonight and where I got is, I don't know how many of you have maybe read Gloria Copeland's book, Live Long, Finish Strong. It's been around for a long time, and I had it in my library for a long time, and I started to reread it because she's got a lot of great insight in there. And, you know, what you find out in life when it comes to healing, that many people, as they age, their thinking process has to kind of be knocked, you know, shaken up a little bit, all right, changed, because as people age, they're thinking, I have to accept this. All right. Now, there's a story in there. You may remember it if you read it. And Gloria Copeland is talking about her mother-in-law. Now, her mother-in-law should have died as a teenager because she had a ruptured appendix. And the mother-in-law, Pastor Sarah, I think, even knows her. She's talked about it. But she was a fighter, and she survived. And they had operated on her. The doctors didn't even really close her back up. And she said, no, I'm going to live to 70. And she survived that. And the doctor said, well, you'll never have a child. Your insides are all a mess and all these kinds of things. But she had, brother Ken was born and so forth. And she always said that she would live to 70 years old. And after she reached 70, her body began to fail and she ended up dying at the age of 77. So she had spent years with her sights set on 70, right? So she was a praying woman and got people saved all the time, including
Brother Ken and Sister Gloria, she prayed for them to come into the kingdom. And she's the main reason why they got saved, okay? But here's what Gloria shared about this story that is so vital for us to learn from. While she was in the hospital and Brother Copeland was praying for her healing, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "She doesn't need healing." And Ken said, "You could have fooled me." And the doctors were telling them that she wasn't going to live more than a week. And Kenneth Copeland realized that she had been healed of several illnesses in the previous few days. She had had pneumonia and some other symptoms, and she was healed. So he said, "Well, Lord, if she's not sick, then what is wrong with her, and why is she dying?" And God said, "Her body parts are worn out." Her body parts are worn out. And then he said, "My word says in Psalm 103 that one of the benefits of being a believer is the renewing of your youth like the eagles. What she needs is her youth to be renewed. She should have been believing for that every day of her life." And that's what the Lord told Brother Copeland. She should have been believing for that every day of her life. Wow. Did you get that? Okay. Her youth is renewed like the eagles. So this is a scripture that we need to be saying daily, and if not daily, several times a day, that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So let's turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. So when you think about it, how many people that you know that die from heart conditions, and the doctors will say, "Oh, their heart just gave out." All right? Kidney problems, kidney failure, the kidneys wore out. They're not functioning properly. So there's people's joints, their knees, okay? As we age, there's body parts that just have worn out. And yet our youth, promise that we have, our youth is to be renewed like the eagles. All right? So we're at Psalm 103. Starting at verse 1. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Praise God. Our youth is to be renewed like the eagles. Now listen to it from the Passion. It says, "With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the holy God, Yahweh. You are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness that you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done." And listen to this. "You've healed me inside and out from every disease." You've healed me inside and out from every disease. "You've rescued me from hell and saved my life. You've crowned me with love and mercy." Verse 5. "You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again. I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky." Wow. "You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky." And that's what this promise is about. He renews our youth like the eagle. So we're to be confessing this so that when we hit 65 years old, okay, people are going to say, "Gee, you look like you're 20. What are you doing? What's the answer?" Psalm 103. God is renewing my youth like the eagles. Amen? Remember, not one feeble one among them. We're going to keep thinking and talking about that as we go through this tonight. Not one feeble one among them. Now, this is verse 5. I'm going to read it from the Voice translation. "When your soul is famished and withering, he fills you with good and beautiful things, satisfying you as long as you live. He makes you strong like an eagle, restoring your youth." Okay? So if you want your youth renewed, this is the scripture that you need to be confessing and meditating on. okay? My youth is renewed like the eagles. I've been supercharged. My life is supercharged so that I soar again. Amen? Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Familiar scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm going to read verses 29 to 31. I'm going to read it from the King James. 29 to 31, Isaiah 40. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Listen to it in the New Living Translation. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's a promise. Now, this is, we're looking at Old Testament scriptures here, okay? So we are in a new and better covenant. Now, listen to it, that from the voice, same scriptures. God strengthens the weary and gives vitality to those worn down by age and care. Ooh, I like that. Worn down by age and care. God strengthens the weary and gives vitality to those worn down by age and care. Young people will get tired. Strapping young men will stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Eternal One will regain their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run never winded, never weary. They will walk never tired and never faint. That's another excellent scripture to meditate on, to confess and believe, because our youth is renewed like the eagles, and we are to always have strength no matter what we encounter. As it says there, when we're worn down by age and care, we can be renewed. All right, so anybody know where the 70 to 80 years comes from? 70 and 80, anybody know where that came from? Parents, okay, no, okay. Comes from Moses, but why? Anybody know why? Okay. It was for the Israelites who refused and rebelled to go into the land of Canaan. And they were disobedient, right? And so they were to stay 40 years in the desert, and they were not to enter in, and they were to die. And that's how it came about. So let's turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10. And so this is, you know, Moses was kind of like almost pleading with God that they could still be allowed to go in, but it wasn't going to happen. So this is from the Amplified, verse 9. It says, "For all our days out here in this wilderness," says Moses, "pass away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, for we adults know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, or 70 years, or even, if by reason of strength, 80 years, which is 80 years, yet is their pride in additional years only labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone and we fly away." So this psalm is credited to Moses, who was interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age that when they rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea to die before reaching the promised land. This comes from Numbers 14, 26 to 35. Now Moses says most of them are dying at 70 years of age. This number has often been mistaken as a set span of life for mankind in general. But it was not intended to refer to anyone except those Israelites under the curse during that those particular 40 years. 70 years never has been the average span of life for humanity. When Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, had reached 130, You see that in Genesis 47:9. He complained that he had not attained to the years of his immediate ancestors. In fact, Moses himself lived to 120 years old. Aaron lived to 123. Miriam, several years older. Joshua, 110. So note as well that in the millennium, a person dying at 100 will still be thought of as a child. Amen? Now, I'm going to read those same two verses from the Passion. Okay, verses 9 and 10. It says, we are banished to live in the shadow of your anger. Okay, the wrath of God showed up. Our days soon become years until our lifetime comes to an end, finished with nothing but a sigh. You've limited our lifespan to a mere 70 years, yet some you give grace to live still longer. But even the best of years are marred by tears and toils, and in the end, with nothing more than a gravestone in a graveyard. We're gone so quickly, so swiftly, we pass away and simply disappear. And I like this one part. It just dawned on me what he's saying. You've limited our lifespan to a mere 70 years, yet some you give grace to live still longer. We live by grace, folks. In the New Testament, we live by grace. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So these scriptures are not for the believer today. That 70, that's not talking about the believer today. It was for the rebellious, wilderness wandering Israelites who refused to go into the promised land, and they were sentenced to die in the wilderness. So we're going to be looking at several scriptures that support a long, healthy life tonight as we go through these. So I suggest that you keep track of them and consider incorporating them in your daily confessions, because this is what God wants for us, a long, healthy life. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. And I'm going to read it from the Message, and I'm also going to read it from the New King James, or the King James. Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. Say amen if you're there, when you get there. There? Okay. In the Message, it says, this is the commandment, the rules and regulations that God, your God, commanded me to teach you to live out in the land you're about to cross into to possess. This is so that you'll live in deep reverence before God lifelong, observing all his rules and regulations that I'm commanding you, you and your children and your grandchildren, living good, long lives. This is what God wants for his children, that we are to live good, long lives. In the New Living Translation, it says, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord, your God, as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Long life, again. The King James says it this way, and that thy days may be prolonged. All right? Another scripture, Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 2. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read that from the Amplified. It says, my son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and, listen to this, years of life worth living, and tranquility, inward and outward and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Wow. Okay. Excellent, awesome promise from the Amplified. I'm going to read it again because I want to stop and talk about something that is here about life worth living. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of a life worth living, and tranquility inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Again, another promise of long life. Now, life worth living. Do you know anybody? Have you met anybody who has said, I have nothing to live for? You've heard people say, there's no reason for me to live. Why am I here? All right. I don't have anything to live for. I've heard people say that. There are people that feel that way. And I can understand when someone is under attack and they're dealing with pain and all they want is relief. And they went out of here. I can understand that. Okay. And they many times give up the fight and go home to be with the Lord. I'm not here to judge that. Not whatsoever. Because I don't know what I would do if I were in their shoes, okay? But I've seen it over and over again. And I even had a lady that took care of a couple years ago. And it's a sad situation, but she was married and her husband died, I think in like his early 40s when their son was 12 years old. And she really didn't have any family. And so she raised her son by herself. And any family members that she had, I think his family members, they died off. But her son was very smart. He went to, I think, to MIT. He became a doctor. He specialized in infectious disease control. And he then went on to be an Episcopal priest. And I got to meet him as he, through the Order of St. Luke, as he was involved with the Order of St. Luke in healing. And then he developed cancer and he died. And this was his mother who would say, I have nothing to live for. Wonderful son, okay? She raised him, no other family, and he dies. And so she would go around saying, I don't want to live. I have nothing to live for. And my heart just went out to her because, you know, I could understand how she felt. Even her husband, no grandchildren, her son had married, and the wife had died. And so she had no grandchildren. And all she kept saying is, I have nothing to live for. Now, that was 3 years ago, and she's still living. She's 93 now, okay? She's still living. God hasn't given up on her yet, okay? She's still living. But I can understand that broken heart and that place where a person can be. But let me just say this, okay, because this is something for us to be thinking about. The only one who makes our life worth living is Jesus Christ. The only one who makes our life worth living is Jesus Christ. So I don't know how I can stress enough the need to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you're in a position like this, or you're faced with anything else that is as horrible or as difficult, that relationship with Jesus Christ is critical. Our lives should be a life worth living. We should be a life worth living. We should be a testimony, a witness to the world. Okay, that they see what the Christians represent, what they believe, and that a life worth living for Jesus is what it's about. We should be living a quality of life with satisfaction. Now, do you know anybody that's married maybe 40, 50 years? Maybe it was your parents or someone that they were married for many years. One spouse dies, and then within like even months or a year, less than 2 years, the other spouse dies? Okay, isn't that something? All right? All right, it happens frequently. So again, okay, they're two that became one, and they miss that partner, okay, and they don't feel that they can go on. I'm just going to go back and say it. The only one who makes our life worth living is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever your situation, okay, the only one who makes your life worth living is Jesus Christ. So abiding in Christ and living for God brings us victory and makes our everyday lives worth living. My heart goes out to these people because Jesus is their answer and they simply need to be taught. They need to know how much he loves them. And the love that he has for them is something that will never change. And they need to know that. So if you're not enjoying life, you're not doing it right. Simply said, Jesus himself said in John 10:10, and I'm going to read it from the Passion. He said, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Life in its fullness. That's what we are promised. And that's why our life is worth living. And that's why the world can look at a Christian and say, wow, I want what they have. Praise God. All right, let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. And I'm going to read that from the King James. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship." Workmanship there simply means masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let me say it from the Passion. Listen to it in the Passion. "We have become his poetry." Wow. "A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it." So if somebody says to you, "Why am I here? Why was I born? What is my purpose in life?" This is what you can show them, this verse. You are born to fulfill the good works that God ordained for you before the foundation of the world. Okay? It's all been planned out. God wants our lives to be satisfying, and he wants us to have a fulfilled life. Let's go to Psalm 91:16. Very familiar scripture. We often read Psalm 91 as our the psalm about protection. But I love the last verse when somebody tells me, "Oh, so-and-so was young and God needed them," or whatever. Yeah, right. Okay. Psalm 91, verse 16. "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Long life. That's a promise of God. A long, healthy life. The Passion says, "You will be satisfied with the full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation." That's what God wants for us, to enjoy the fullness of our salvation. And the word "satisfy" there simply means fill to satisfaction, have enough to be to the full, have plenty of, be satiate, satisfy with plenteous and abundance. Healing begins at salvation. Eternal life with God begins at salvation when we accept Jesus, because the promise of a long, blessed life belongs to every child of God. Disease is a result of separation from God. So that intimate relationship with the Lord is critical in us having that long, satisfied life. Many Old Testament people lived from beyond 200 and up to 900 plus years. And we are their descendants. Okay? Think about that. We are the descendants of these people that lived up to 900 years. So we can believe for 120 years. And once we arrive, if we're not satisfied, you can stay. If you're not satisfied and you haven't finished what God's called you to do, stay. Okay? The worldwide average of life expectancy, back, this was in 2015, was 71.5. And in the United States, in February of 2018, the average was 78.7. Okay, sorry guys to tell you this, but the women lived to 81.2 and men 76.4. And in the Old Testament, Adam lived to 930 years. His son Seth lived to 912. And of course, Methuselah lived to 969. So even after the flood, Noah lived to 950 years. Caleb was 85 when he decided, you know, that was time for them to go in and possess the land. And the same with Moses. Moses started his ministry at 85 because he went in to, he led the Israelites out of Egypt. So he just started at 85. Okay. So something that we need to understand here is that God never intended for his creation, for mankind to die. That was never part of his plan. Okay? He wanted man to enjoy eternal life, having all that he created for him. And God created everything on the earth before he created man. Now, if you think about the garden, remember there was the tree of life? He had to put the angels near that, because if they had gotten to that tree, they would have eaten it and lived in sin forever. Okay? Because it was God's intention for man to live forever. Death was not part of God's original design, but when Adam interfered with God's plan, death became part of man's future. But praise God, Jesus came along and paid the price for all the sins of all humankind so that we can be restored to God's original plans. Praise God. So let's go to Deuteronomy 34. And we're going to look at Moses here and what happened in there. Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 7. Say amen when you get there. And then we're going to kind of go backwards and looking at some other scriptures. But Deuteronomy 34, 1 to 7. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. The Lord said to him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Wow. Okay. At 120, he was in great shape. We should set our sights on the 120. Now, if God gives you something else to go with, that's what you go with. All right? Moses dies for just one reason, because God told him to. He had finished his assignment. His divine mission was complete. Amen? Go to Deuteronomy 32. Back up. Deuteronomy 32, verse 48 to 50. And the Lord spoke unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. So Moses got to see the land that God had promised them. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Okay, so the Lord gathered him as he did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Aaron. So this proves to us, all right, that no matter how old we are, we don't have to get sick and feeble to die. We can just finish our divine assignments and then let God gather us to himself. All right, go to Deuteronomy 30. And I'm going to start reading at verse 15. Deuteronomy 30. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passeth over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which he, the Lord, sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. All right, so we see here that God is telling us to choose life so that we can live long and be blessed. If we don't choose life, It will lead to an early death and a miserable life. But God is our life and length of days. In verse 20, it tells us there to love the Lord. So we need to be cautious of that, obey his voice, and cleave to him. Let's look at Abraham briefly. Abraham is an example of one who stood in faith. Now, he was in his 70s when God promised him a son from his barren wife, Sarah. And as Abraham and Sarah stood in faith for over 20 years, their youth was renewed. So remember when Sarah was in her 90s, there was a heathen king that wanted him for herself, for himself. Okay. So she's 70. And now remember Psalm 103 verse 5, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God gives them the promise. And now she's getting younger looking. And here she is 90 and a king with probably having many other women to choose from decides she's the one he wants. All right. So Abraham even remarried after Sarah died. He remarries at 127 years old and has five more sons, and he lived to 175. So his golden years were an example of what it's like to trust God and believe his word. So it's not hard, folks, for us to be thinking in terms of 120, but it's how we've been, our mindset has been programmed for years, or what we have thought is supposed to be the length of our days to live. Genesis, you don't have to turn there, but Genesis 15:15. God speaks to Abraham and says, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So Abraham is called the father of our faith, and we can walk in his footsteps. He both believed and obeyed God. So remember, there was not one feeble one among them. Just keep thinking of that. Not one feeble one among them. Life is a test, but God gives us all the answers so we can pass with flying colors. In fact, I think it's great because we have an open book test. We can always go to the Bible to get our answers for anything that we encounter. The Word of God will correct and teach us. It will strengthen us and transform us from the inside out, all of which will bring blessings and a long life to us. Our healing comes from the Word of God as we hear it, as we speak it, as we meditate on it, and as we obey it. Healing comes from the Word of God as we hear it, as we speak it, as we meditate on it, and we obey it. Let's turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 21. The New King James says it this way. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Listen to it from the Passion. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. Wow. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. Turn to Proverbs 4. Verses 10 to 11. Proverbs 4, verse 10 to 11. You there? Okay. Verses 10 and 11. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. The years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. The Passion says it this way. My son, if you will take the time to stop and listen to me and embrace what I say, you will live a long and happy life full of understanding in every way. That's pretty good. To live a life long and happy, full of understanding in every way. I have taken you by the hand in wisdom ways, pointing you to the path of integrity. Turn to Psalm 37, verse 25. So all these scriptures are talking about us having long life. These are promises from God. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Passion says it this way: I was once young, but now I'm old. Not once have I found a lover of God forsaken by him, nor have any of their children gone hungry. So, when we get old, we are not to only be healthy and satisfied and fulfilled, but we are also supposed to be prosperous. Amen? Okay. Proverbs 10. Turn to Proverbs 10, verse 27. I'm going to read it from the New King James. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The relationship with the Lord is so critical. It's so imperative in terms of our relationship with the Lord, hearing from God and having that intimate relationship when it comes to us having a long, healthy life. Proverbs 10, verse 27 from the Passion. Living in the worship and awe of God will bring you many years of contented living. So how could the wicked ever expect to have a long, happy life? Living in the worship and awe of God will bring you many years of contented living. Psalm 92, verse 13 to 14 from the New King James Version. Psalm 92, 13 to 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The Passion says, you've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you. For in your presence, they will still overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Amen? So, not one feeble one among them. Keep thinking about that. So can you see that we're looking at promises that are old covenant related, and yet we're under a new and better covenant? So there wasn't one feeble among them in the Old Testament. And look at what we have over that in a better covenant. So let's go to Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. Ephesians 1, I'm going to read it first in the King James. And everybody knows this is the Ephesians prayer. It's a very common scripture. The two prayers that Brother Hagin often talked about, the Ephesians prayers. And this was from the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to read it from the King James first, and then I'm going to read it from a couple other translations. But I'm going to start at verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen to this in the Message, because there's a couple points here that I want to emphasize. In the Message, I'm starting at verse 15, going down to 19. That's why when I heard of the solid trust that you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you every time I prayed. I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. Ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do, grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy and boundless strength. 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 So the Apostle Paul's praying this for them, okay? And this is what he's telling them that we have available to us. We're going to be made intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. We're going to have a plan. He says, you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. And you'll grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. The utter extravagance of his work in us, because he's in us and we're in him. And we who trust him. So basically by faith, we are doing this. But we have endless energy and boundless strength. So when you're going through your day, and it starts off because you don't even want to get out of bed, and you're exhausted, and you're like, gee, I had a lousy night's sleep. I really don't want to get up. I'd rather just roll over and go to sleep, okay? But you have to go to work, or you have things planned and things that you have to take care of. Just keep thinking in your mind, I have endless energy and boundless strength. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I have endless energy and boundless strength. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen? Endless energy, boundless strength. Meditate on that, folks. Add that to your daily confession because it's so precious. It's vital. It's true. It's an incredible promise. Listen to verse 19 in the Passion. He says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. We know that when the word trust is used there, that's by faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And this is what Pastor Ed has been talking about when he talked about our authority, okay? Your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Folks, as a Christian, the world should see that power evident in us. They should see that our youth was renewed like the eagles, that we have endless energy and boundless strength, and that everything I need was provided for me, and I will operate as one who is in this environment as a Christian, endless energy, boundless strength. My youth is renewed like the eagles. So we are an advertisement for Jesus Christ. We are an advertisement for him. Amen? They won't see a feeble one among us. Not one feeble one among us. They will be shocked when we tell them our age, and they'll think that we are 20 years younger. You're what? You're how old? Okay. Let's Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3, scripture that talks about long life. It says, and I'm reading from the King James, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And in the Passion, it says, for the commandment, honor your father and mother, was the first of the 10 commandments with a promise that was attached. You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. So folks, confession of the promises of God are critical because our brain begins to put into action what we speak. We know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when we're speaking things, my youth is renewed like the eagles. I have endless energy and boundless strength. We can go through some of the hardest, most difficult places in life. Because on top of that, he gives us his grace. He gives us his grace because we are in the dispensation of grace. Okay? So if I say I'm getting old and I might as well retire and sit home and do nothing, okay, my body's going to accommodate me. It will accommodate me, okay? But if I say that I have endless energy and boundless strength and that my youth is renewed like the eagles, that's going to begin to work in me as well. Amen. The healing power of God is working in my body to effect a healing and a cure. The healing power of God is working in my joints, whatever it might be that you're experiencing. Okay. The healing power of God is working in my body to effect a healing and a cure in this organ or that organ or whatever it may be. Because remember, as I said, when we opened up, healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. Healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. Let's say it together. Healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. There is not one feeble one among us. Not one. Say, let's say it. There's not one feeble one among us. Amen. Praise God. So remember, it doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what you're experiencing. You have endless energy, boundless strength. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. And there's not one feeble one among us. Amen.